alive really since conception.
Hmm.
So that, you know, it's amazing to think that we each kind of have this powerful friend that's here with us. I would suggest that people get a good study Bible. You know, I've got Bibles at home, but I've got a study Bible. It's an Ignatius study Bible. It's called the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, the New Testament from Ignatius Press, because not only does it give you a lot of quotes, but it gives you footnotes. It really gives you some good stuff.
And cultural things that help the text make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that those are the keys to me when even looking at the Old Testament, and we were speaking specifically about the New Testament, but looking at the entire both books of the mm-hmm. Bible, it just, to make sense out of what was written and recorded at the time, you have to know the culture.
Yeah.
And what, why it's significant they used an example of this or that at that particular time.
Yeah, you know, that's right, because things are so different than they were. You know, the woman at the well last weekend is a good one.
Yeah,
you know, today exactly. We wouldn't think a thing about asking a woman to help us get a drink.
But well, yeah.
Back then, man, that was...
And she was a Samaritan to boot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and the Jews didn't communicate with him, so...
Yeah. I'm looking here in the catechism about angels, and, you know, there were angels at the birth of Christ. It talks about the order of the angels, the existence of angels as a true faith. That's in paragraph 328 of the catechism. The fallen angels are discussed in 390 and beyond. It talks about our guardian angels. So, I mean, this is in the catechism
right.
of the Catholic Church.
Right.
So it's just...
Yeah, he didn't make it up.
Yeah, well, believe me. But there are only three angels named in the Bible. Only three, and that's yeah. Michael.
But they are the archangels.
Right. Michael means who is like God.
Right.
Gabriel is man of God. And Raphael is God heals. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, Gabriel is the patron saint of Catholic radio. Saturday's right. the Annunciation, and we are in the Annunciation studio, and over my right shoulder is a beautiful painting of the Annunciation of the angel talking to Mary. So, you know, I just wanted to let you know, Mark, these, I know earlier on you said you didn't really believe in witchcraft and
right.
you didn't believe in that kind of stuff, but
yep.
I don't know that I'd want to take the chance and not pray. Whatever these people are up to, they'll have a conversion of heart.
Hey, listen, you never go wrong praying.
Right.
I mean, it, no matter what you're praying, well, yeah, no matter what you're praying for, because God's not going to grant something that's evil. So, you know, you can't go wrong
right.
in prayer.
Right. Yeah, as long as you're praying for something that's good for your salvation.
Yes.
You know, he'll hear that. Hey, I want to talk a minute here about the Bishop's Column.
Okay.
You know, the Bishop's Column comes out every 2 weeks.
I was going to say, it's about that time. Huh?
Yeah, it comes out in the, the Western Catholic. Now I'm getting the Catholic Times.
Gee, the Catholic time machine here, folks.
Well, it used to be called the Western
Yes, it
Catholic.
Did.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
But he writes his column every 2 weeks, and then we are given the permission to use the audio version of that to give you, the listeners, a message every other week or so
right.
From Bishop Paprocki. So here with this week's column is Bishop Thomas John Paprocki, the Bishop of Springfield in Illinois.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for the first time in over half a century, we begin this Lenten season in anticipation of our diocesan synod, which will formally open during the Chrism Mass, celebrated during Holy Week at our cathedral at 6:30 p.m. in the evening on Tuesday, April 11th. The word synod in Greek simply means a meeting, but the Catholic Church uses this Greek word to indicate a very special type of meeting. Our diocesan synod will be special and historic, not only because it will be only the fourth such meeting since our diocese was founded in 1853 and the first since 1963, but also because it will involve clergy and laity from across our diocese to assist me as diocesan bishop and guiding the pastoral direction of our diocese for the foreseeable future, especially with regard to the themes of discipleship and stewardship. May I suggest that in our spiritual practices during Lent this year, we look into our own hearts to see how we are living the stewardship and discipleship way of life. In the Gospel passage for Ash Wednesday from the Gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus gives a clear focus on the Lenten practices of almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. The whole point of each of these practices is that God the Father, who sees what is hidden, will repay you. The purpose of our Lenten observances is not to bring us human praise, but a heavenly reward. Almsgiving, prayer, and fasting are designed to foster our relationship with God the Father as disciples of His Son Jesus and as stewards of His creation. By fasting, we limit our intake of food and drink to help us to be spiritually hungry and thirsty for God. By praying, we engage in conversation with God to discern more clearly His will for us and strengthen our commitment to live in accord with His divine will. By giving alms or gifts of charity as an act of virtue, we move beyond our self-centered desires to expand our generosity to embrace love of God and love of neighbor more fully. The practices of fasting, praying, and almsgiving have their greatest effect on our spiritual well-being when they are done not out of obligation, but out of love, although a sense of duty is often a helpful starting point. Father Robert Spitzer, a Jesuit priest who speaks of the four levels of happiness, points out that we achieve true happiness when we move beyond level one happiness of pleasure-seeking and level two happiness of personal achievement to the more fulfilling experiences of level three happiness of self-giving and level four happiness of union with God. In this regard, I would like to look more closely at the happiness that comes from almsgiving. While it may seem more obvious how prayer and fasting foster a closer relationship with God, the connection between our use of money and our relationship with God may not be so clear to us. Yet our culture is so focused on finances and so dependent on money that we overlook a crucial component of our lives if we try to separate how we use our money from how we relate to God. A recent study by Notre Dame's Catholic Social and Pastoral Research Initiative examined the relationship between spirituality and the use of money by Catholics in a report entitled Unleashing Catholic Generosity, Explaining the Catholic Giving Gap in the United States. This report compared Catholics' self-reported religious giving and philanthropy from those of other religious groups, using a nationally representative survey of about 2,000 Americans conducted in 2010. The report showed that, on average, Catholics are less generous in voluntary financial giving than other Christian groups in the United States. The report is not saying that Catholics are ungenerous, but seeks to understand why some religious groups in the United States tend to be more generous than Catholics, and why some American Catholics are more generous than other Catholics. In their analyses, the study found that the single most important factor in explaining the gap between giving by Catholics as compared to other religious groups is what they called a lack of spiritual engagement with money on the part of most American Catholics. Rather than seeing their use of money and possessions as a part of their spiritual life, as a part of Christian formation and faithfulness, American Catholics tended to compartmentalize, to separate money from matters of faith, to think that money and material possessions do not have much to do with spiritual or religious issues. Catholics who do engage with money as a spiritual matter and who see their money as ultimately God's, however, are much more financially generous, reducing the Catholic giving gap almost entirely. Ultimately, the issue is not whether we talk about money too much or too little in the Catholic Church, but the key is how we talk about money and what we have to say about it. It is clear from reading the Gospels that Jesus did not hesitate to talk about money. He did not talk about money as a fundraiser, but in terms of the proper stewardship of God's gifts of creation. In this regard, the Notre Dame study found that Catholics are more likely to focus on giving as paying the bills rather than living the vision when thinking about money. Because many Catholics are more concerned about paying the bills, they lack spiritual engagement with money, the belief that proper stewardship of money is a deeply spiritual matter, which further reduces Catholic financial giving. In sum, the Notre Dame study concludes that most important of all is fostering parish cultures in which the use of money is not seen as a mere secular or profane matter, but as the Bible teaches, a spiritual concern that God cares about, that shapes one's personal spiritual life profoundly, and that can genuinely help transform the world along Christian values and purposes. May God give us this grace. Amen.
Talk Radio for Catholic Life, 88.9, 96.5 FM, WDCR, Orianna, Decatur.
WDCR.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
All right, believe it or not, that song is the Angel Song by Great White, which was a rock and roll band back in the 90s. I'm pretty sure that song turns into a pretty heavy jam in a minute, but I like the beginning.
Yeah, it's time to turn it down.
We want to thank Bishop Proparocki for sharing his message with us here on WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio. You know, as often as his columns come out, we're happy to share those. And, you know, Mark, we've been on the air for coming up on 2 years here for long. And
yeah, this is 84th show, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We need to extend an invitation to the bishop to to join us and
yes,
talk about what he wants to talk about, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Busy guy, but, you know,
oh,
maybe,
I know,
maybe we can get him on board.
Cool.
Okay, so what we like to do on the show toward the end here is read next week's gospel, the fourth Sunday of Lent, and that way you get a chance to hear it and think about it a couple days before we hear it at Mass.
Yeah, not next week's, this week's.
Well, yeah,
Sunday
this,
gospel.
This Sunday coming
yeah,
up.
Right.
And you know, Mark, since we've been doing this, and I get to hear it in advance, then I get to Mass and it starts, and I think, well, I've heard this before.
Well, yeah, and actually, we all should be looking at our Magnificat or going online, whatever you use for daily prayer, whatever tool.
Yeah.
And before any Mass, even daily Mass, just taking a few minutes and not only reading through the gospel, but to sit and contemplate.
Yeah, and you know, I like to pre-read it. That way, when the priest is reading it, I can put the book down and focus on hearing him read it.
And how many of us so many times have heard Jesus' parables? And keep in mind, don't feel bad, folks, because even the apostles didn't get it.
Yeah.
And he would have to sit down, and only a few did he explain to them out of all of them. I struggle with the same thing. I hear him year after year. Well, we're on our cycles.
Every third
this
year.
Is a year. Yeah, we're in year A now. But I have to really absorb, oh, yeah, what did that mean again?
Yeah.
You know?
And it can mean different things.
Sure.
Compared to where you are in your
exactly.
life.
Exactly.
So what's the gospel this Sunday,
right,
Mark?
This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one that used to sit and beg?" Some said it is, but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the longer version that we'll hear Sunday, too, they go challenge this guy's parents.
Oh, yeah.
Claiming that he really could see.
Absolutely.
And that this was all part of a...
And they were sinful themselves.
Yeah. You know, maybe the most famous hymn in Christendom is Amazing Grace.
Yes.
And I think Amazing Grace comes from the blind man here who says, "I was blind, but now
I see."
How many of us are blind and we need Jesus to make clay and put on our eyes,
exactly.
To open our eyes? Our eyes are the windows to the soul. And so I was blind, but now I see.
Yeah, absolutely. Spiritual blindness.
Well, listen Sunday to your own pastor when he gives his homily on this gospel that we just heard today. And it's nice that we've had a chance to preview it, and we'll be able to listen to Father closely this Sunday when he reads the longer version.
Right.
We had to edit it down to what they use in some masses, the short version, because, you know, we only have an hour here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a lengthy gospel. So God bless y'all. And Sunday, listen to the gospel, and just remember that, like the blind man, we were blind, but now we see. Okay?
All right.
Let's move on, Mark, to the calendar.
Oh, you want to talk about the community calendar?
I know there's quite a bit of stuff going on.
Well, I know that HSHS St. Mary's Widowed Support Group is going to meet at Cheddar's in Forsyth on Thursday. That's today, March 23rd at 11:30 a.m. That's one thing I know for sure. And I know that the Holy Family is having fish fries on March 31st and again on April 7th. Those are Fridays, 4 to 7:30 p.m. Now, in addition to that, Friday fish night for Our Lady of Lourdes is, and they're saying come hungry, it's the best fish you'll ever eat, is going to be on March 17th.
That's over.
Yeah. Who didn't black out that date on my script? And let's just say it's going to be on the 24th then.
There you go.
4:30 to 7 p.m. And that's $8 a head. You also get carry out. And what do you have, brother?
Well, I've got something here really interesting. It's today. If you have no plans for this evening, this is something to think about. Treasures of the Church. The Diocese of Springfield will host at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in downtown Springfield a teaching and exposition of sacred relics tonight, March 23rd at 7 p.m. Father Carlos Martins of the Companions of the Cross will be at the Immaculate Conception Cathedral.
Where's he going to be?
Couldn't come up with the word cathedral all of a sudden.
My goodness.
To talk about his special ministry and these holy objects. He'll have with him 150 relics.
Wow.
Some as old as 2,000 years. Now get this, Mark. Among the treasures will be relics of St. Maria Goretti.
Oh, yeah.
St. Therese of Lisieux.
Wow.
The Little Flower.
Yes.
St. Francis of Assisi. St. Anthony of Padua. He's the patron saint of impossible causes.
Right.
In addition to that, there are relics of St. Thomas Aquinas and Sister Faustina Kowalska.
Wow.
Those will all be...
In
addition to this, Mark, get this now. There will be one of the largest remaining pieces of the true cross of Christ in the world at the cathedral tonight. In church history, many miracles and healings have been worked in the presence of these relics, and many have been healed through this ministry. So don't miss the opportunity. If you don't have anything to do this evening, head over to Springfield about 5 o'clock, have dinner, get to the cathedral by 7, and listen to this lecture and venerate these unbelievably precious relics.
That's just incredible.
Now, do you know the story of the True Cross? You know, they weren't sure they had it.
Yeah, I was getting ready to ask that. Wasn't there some sort of controversy?
St. Augustine's mother, I think she was Helena, went to these three crosses and took a sick person. When the sick person touched what they believed to be the true cross that miraculously healed.
Uh-huh.
And so they still have pieces of that true cross.
Wow.
So that's pretty amazing stuff.
It is.
The other thing I have actually is for next week, and you know, I'll be off on assignment next week.
Yes, I know. The listeners have already rescheduled something else for 10 o'clock, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll be on a pilgrimage down to...
Dan and I will be here, though.
I'll be in Biloxi praying for you.
Yeah, please.
But mark your calendars for 24 Hours for the Lord. It's a 24-hour Eucharistic adoration at St. James and Patrick Parish, Friday, March 31st, starting at with 11:15 Mass. And it goes until 7 p.m. There'll be confessions all day. And on Saturday, April 1st, the next day, from 9 to 3:45, there'll be adoration, confessions, benediction at 3:45, and Mass at 4 o'clock. And they're looking for people to sign up. You know when you have the Blessed Sacrament on exposition, someone has to be there.
Yes.
So they have to fill these half-hour blocks.
That's right.
Can you, our listeners, give a half-hour to the Lord and fill a half-hour block next weekend, March 31st, Friday or Saturday, April 1st at St. James or St. Patrick's.
Now, speaking of St. Patrick's, Dave, they're going to have their 16th annual auction. And that's going to be this Saturday,
The
25th at the KC Hall. Doors are going to open at 5 p.m. and they're going to include dinner and have silent and live auctions both.
Yeah, you see what the grand prize auction is?
No.
It's a beautiful Hyundai. It's a silver, I think it's a 2014 Hyundai, I think Sonata.
Now, is this like a 125th scale model?
No, man, I'm telling you.
It's a real car.
Beautiful car.
Where'd they get it?
Beautiful car. Bob Brady Dodge donates the car.
Wow.
Every year, Bob Brady donates.
That's pretty generous.
Car. Yes, it is. It's very generous. It's very generous.
All right. Well, anyway, tickets are $25 for that. And we want to remind you, last week we had Sandy and Jackson Scharf with us as our guests. And the KC in Mount Zion is holding the sausage and biscuit breakfast, pancake sausage and biscuit breakfast.
And gravy.
Yeah, and gravy, of course. Well, yeah. Now you've got me off script here.
That's
Saturday
easy.
From 7-11 to 11 a.m.
From 7-11 to 11 a.m. Don't get there at 7:09.
Oh, boy. Lord, help me through this. Where's my guardian angel?
Oops.
To get into the breakfast, it's $6 for adults, and children 3 to 5 or $3.
What would it be for you and me?
I don't know. I'm not doing math. I can barely talk here.
Well, you know, we do need to get people to go to that.
Exactly.
Because the benefits go to the Scharf family.
That's exactly right.
They need some assistance.
And while we're speaking about Our Lady of the Holy Spirit, they're having a rummage sale March 31st from 8 to 5 p.m. and again on April 1st from 8 to 2 p.m. And that's right there at the church, 400 North Whitetail. Clothing, bedding, books, household goods, toys, and collectibles. So
I wish Father Erisman was here to tell us all about that.
Yeah, but he's not.
And we'll get him next time.
Okay.
All right. We got a couple minutes left, Mark, and I've got two things I want to finish with our devotion to angels. Bishop Paprocki also requests that we pray a St. Michael prayer at the end of Mass.
Yes.
And I'm going to close the show with the St. Michael prayer that Pope Leo wrote. But the bishop says prayer and the sacraments are an essential part of what St. Paul called the armor of God in his letter to the Ephesians. The St. Michael prayer can help us stand against the deceits of the devil by taking the shield of faith. God permits us to be tempted by the devil, but gives us the grace to resist him through prayer in our daily lives. We can and should say the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel at church with the assembly or on our own during the day for spiritual protection for ourselves and for others. And the bishop says, may God bless our diocese and our mission with every grace we need to grow in faith, hope, and love. May St. Michael the Archangel protect us from all evil, harm, and temptation. Sincerely yours in Christ, Thomas John Paprocki, the Most Reverend Bishop of Springfield in Illinois.
And I have to tell you, Dave, Holy Family, every single daily and every weekend Mass is closed with the St. Michael prayer.
Well, let's close with this is the St. Michael prayer. It's a little different.
Okay. Because this is the one Pope Leo XIII wrote.
Pope Leo XIII.
Yeah,
okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, Defend us in the day of battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust down to hell Satan and all wicked spirits who wander through the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That wasn't a whole lot different, just a word or two.
Just a word or two. Well, I hope you enjoyed our little chat about angels today. Like I said, I'll be away next week. Mark and Dan will have the show. I hope you'll tune in then. Thanks for joining us today on The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew.
See you guys.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.